Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Think about the damage you did to other human beings. This wasn't about justice for George Floyd. This was selfish, it was mean-spirited, and it was mindless.
City of Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown over the weekend. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. We have our operations manager, Tim Wenger, in here with me. Bulldog is broadcasting from his home as usual. Our program director is texting, complaining that we didn't draft Steve Perry on Friday, and now we'll talk about riots.
We can take care of Alan for you.
Yeah, it's just like this is one of those times when like the back and forth is fairly well pronounced.
Yeah. Hi, Tim.
How you doing, Bulldog?
I'm okay. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I'm scathed.
Yeah. When Tim asks you how your weekend was, it's a setup.
Yes, it is. So, Bulldog, how was your weekend?
Because yours was, I would think, pretty memorable.
Yeah, I think I tweeted that at one point that this is a weekend or a Saturday night I will never forget, and so many I think in the city will never forget. Remarkable, historic in many ways, tragic in some ways, meaningful in many ways. I mean, really, there's so many different adjectives I think you can describe it, but memorable, I think we can all agree on.
How did it start?
Well, I had indication earlier in the afternoon that there were some of these outside people, as they're described. I don't know who they are. And I suspect that later this afternoon we might find out a little bit because they're going to have a press conference. But so I had found that out, which I've always said through all my years of news coverage, when there's a protest, it only takes one to make it go sideways. And yeah. I always tell the reporters, be ready for that. And luckily, most of the protests locally have been very respectful and actually a pleasure to cover, you know, regardless of where you are on any issue. This one I had a bad feeling about, so I made sure both of us, Brandon Keeney and myself, were there. And thank goodness we did. I mean, it was a great, messaging protest for about an hour and a half from just before 5 o'clock until 6. And they marched through the streets and everything really was respectful. And I did a bunch of interviews along those lines, how happy people were that it went that way. But then it just very quickly went bad when a group returned to Niagara Square and then rushed the U.S. federal courthouse. And rushing a federal building, you know, is not a good thing to do.
In the eyes
of the law enforcement, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree.
It might be a good idea for the people that want to do it, but
mm-hmm. Yeah. Was the building at that time being guarded, or did that cause police to rush to that scene, and that's when maybe the
it was, you know, and this is a piece of information I did not have at the time, is what that they the police did have an indication that the federal courthouse was a target of the people that were coming from out of town. So yes, they to answer your question, Bulldog, they had a contingent of Buffalo police in their full rigueur standing outside that building and ready for them. you know, and it just escalated very, very quickly. You know, it within minutes. I mean, Brendan was texting me, you know, like, this is going bad quick.
How close were you?
I was in it. I mean, I literally was in it. Both Brendan and I got caught in tear gas explosions, which is something to remember. I'll tell you that. I had to go off the air for about 2 minutes, you know, to kind of recover from that, as anybody that got it did. We were right in it. I mean, I was right on where that car was. I mean, I was next to that car between the Statler and the courthouse. And Brendan was on the steps behind the police line for a time before they told him to leave that area.
And the car you're referring to is the car that drove into protesters, and then the driver was pulled
and that,
out of the car.
That was an alarming moment because we all can picture that area, right? Between the Statler and the courthouse, that street is absolutely packed with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people that are demonstrating, screaming and yelling. And at that time, I would say it was boisterous and it was challenging, but it wasn't violent. And that car then started rolling down Delaware Avenue, not at a high rate of speed. However, it caught my eye because I saw a moving vehicle in an area that was closed. And it just came down. People started screaming and spreading to both sides of the street. And then, you know, people just started toppling the car. I mean, the windshields were smashed at once. You know, it was just crazy.
How do we know anything about what the driver's intention was? I mean, it'd be easy to guess that they wanted to be a problem to the protest. It also, I guess, is possible that it was someone that was just really, really badly confused.
Yeah, there are reports that it's someone that was confused. My take wouldn't be that, okay? I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you what I saw. And Brendan Keeney, I think, would agree with this. He was at Mohawk Street, where the car came from. And to us, it looked like this car was part of the protest, that it rolled down the street very intentionally. There are all these, there's a lot of peripheral reports that someone was hauled out of the car and beaten, and we did not see that. And I was literally standing right there. I think I would have seen that had it occurred. But, you know, my belief is that that car intended to go down the street. You know, I can't tell you that is an absolute 100% fact because I wasn't driving it. So,
right.
Tim Wenger with us. He's our operations manager, talking about the scene downtown Saturday night. What was your perspective on how leadership, Mayor Brown, County Executive Poloncarz, handled the night?
Let me answer it two ways, because I want to answer it the law enforcement way, and then I'll answer it the politician leader way. Law enforcement, I was really impressed with. I know there's a ton of controversy right now about law enforcement across the country. But in that situation, I pointed out on the air all night long, there were no visible police cars. They could have rolled their, you know, they have those tanks and armored vehicles. There was no sight of that, no police vehicles. All you saw were mainly protesters and then lines of police. So there was no physical challenge to people. The people were challenging the police, and I feel the police held the line where they needed to. And I only saw one person hauled away. So I think the leadership on the police side, I was impressed with it. I really was. It's what I would expect. And if I were the mayor or the county executive or in charge, I would say, I think you did your job. You protected the public as best you could, and you allowed people to express their views.
Right.
Very quickly thereafter, the mayor came on WBEN. He spoke extensively with me and was pretty forthright in his disgust for what was happening with regard to the violent portion of the demonstration, and at the same time heralding the people that gathered at 5 p.m. to have a legal protest that I agree with the mayor was a meaningful protest. It really was, and it was handled well. And the county executive the same way. I have no criticism really of the mayor or the county executive and how they handled it. I will tell you that at 1:30 in the morning, I was standing outside police headquarters when Mayor Brown, who's not a real animated guy, and that's not a criticism, that's a fact. He is just not animated, and he was mad. Brendan Keeney was there when someone threw that burning box inside of City Hall. You know, that could have really, talk about going sideways. I mean, there's a lot of, stuff that could have gone up in that building, and that could have been a nightmare. The mayor was really mad at that. You know, that's a symbol of Buffalo. It's his home turf. You know, but I saw the same thing at the Statler and in other buildings too. But he was angry, and I guess I don't blame him for being angry that property was just being damaged.
When did it end?
I guess that press conference was at 1:30. I would say it ended per se around 12:30. Mm-hmm. That's when there was a around midnight is when the van exploded in front of the city court building, the bail bond van, and I was there for that as well.
Yeah, you tweeted a picture of that.
Yeah, it was quite a sight. I'm telling you, that thing fully engulfed in flames, with people, by the way, within 15 feet of it. And yeah. I even said to a few people that were within earshot, I'm like, that thing is going to blow up, And I got away as far as I could, and still describe what was happening. But that was someone threw fireworks into that truck, that van, while it was burning. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that was going on. So there was a lot there that I didn't understand as someone that was watching it and trying to simply describe it for an audience. There was a lot I just didn't understand. I certainly understand the anger, the rage, the response, and the reason for the protest. I don't understand why it's directed at buildings and that have really not much to do with what did the Statler do? Right.
Right, or Black Rock Pharmacy.
Some people might argue that we improved the Statler on Saturday night.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I'm curious, Tim, how much you or Brendan had a opportunity to – did you follow the path of destruction at all, or were you just mostly downtown at Niagara Square? Because, when I started hearing about – that's why I mentioned at the outset here, I went out and drove around yesterday morning – just because I was curious when I heard about, for example, I just mentioned it, Black Rock Pharmacy on Tonawanda Street. I mean, the city's not so big that it's super far, but it surprised me that the protest in any organized fashion would have reached that part of the city.
Bulldog, they moved. And I'll tell you, I stayed downtown. I stayed in Niagara Square. With one exception, I went over to the Apollo Theater to cover the mayor's news conference at 10. But then I was quickly back in Niagara Square when that van went up, et cetera. So I was pretty much downtown centric. Brendan went up to the 7-Eleven where, so much happened. The Black Rock Pharmacy is right in that vicinity. And I was amazed when Brendan was texting me, telling me where he was, that protest on foot made it up there. And then, by the way, they came back down to Niagara Square. So they were moving pretty quick. Obviously, some of them were using vehicles too, but there were people that, marched on foot to get up there. And Don Arthur from Black Rock Pharmacy, he contacted Susan Rose, and sent us pictures of the damage over there. I mean, I was just amazed that that there was that kind of damage that far away from where I was seeing what was happening, at the Statler, City Court, City Hall, et cetera. Pretty remarkable.
Tim Wenger with us, operations manager here, Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR. How do you look at how, sort of the information process played out here in this, your perspective on that from, your professional status? You have these networks, apparently, where people are making these sort of plans, getting organized. This is, I guess, something else, but there's also the misinformation problem.
Oh, yeah.
That we have now.
Well, Saturday, I got that indication that it could possibly, go bad, as any protest, I guess, could. But I had a feeling about this based on information I got. So Saturday, I was concerned. Yesterday, well, the rest of Western New York appeared to be very concerned that, we would be, as I think I mentioned last night, having garden hoses in our front yards waiting for the protest to come. I didn't think anything was going to happen, and it didn't, because there were just so many different rumors out there. That I just think it was either strategy or it was just people going nuts on social media. And I didn't think it was going to amount to much, and it didn't. It's like a military attack, right? I mean, the worst ones are the ones you don't know when they're coming. They don't tell you.
Right. It doesn't take much for that sort of misinformation. Here's me. I'm sitting on my porch yesterday at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. My neighbor from across the street walks over, and we're just chit-chatting as we normally would, appropriately distanced, of course. And he just says casually to me, "Yeah, word is that Hurdle Avenue is a target tonight." Like, oh, okay. I get in touch with Jeremy. He lives on the other side of Hurdle from me, and we're chit-chatting about it. And you know, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, should I be ready for something? Well, and then you quickly sort of do a checklist and go, there's not really anything to be ready. I don't have anything to get ready for. Other, you know, my truck is parked on the street. That's where it's going to be. I can't put it on my lawn. So, like, that's it. You know, lock the doors and you know, hope.
Yeah, my phone blew up yesterday. It was just going. I had people from this building and outside and friends texting me, sending me, you know, DMs. And it just, like, I'm hearing Lewiston is in lockdown. I'm hearing this. My daughter got a, you know, we all heard about the U-Haul incident that, you know, there was a U-Haul. My daughter came running to me when I was in our driveway and telling me that there is a U-Haul van driving on Main Street in Williamsville shooting people, you know, and she's showing me like four different tweets she's getting from friends.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is just.
That is not that did not happen.
No, that did not happen. There was an incident involving a U-Haul truck in Buffalo, you know, a crime incident, a shooting. But it they say had nothing to do with all of this, and you know, tragic as that is, it just everything gets spread.
You're packed in there Saturday night like you are in this really tense way, and oh, by the way, you're supposed to stand 6 feet apart from each other and wear masks everywhere you go.
There was a lot of that not going on.
I bet.
You know, I had a mask on, as I could. There were some moments when I actually physically had to take it off for whatever work I was doing. But for the most part, I would say, you know, if I had to throw a percentage out there, I'd say about 60 to 70% of the people did have masks or face coverings. So, I mean, there was a lot of compliance with that, but there were a lot of people that were, and they certainly weren't 6 feet apart. I mean, there was absolutely no way. Now, I'm also not, you know, quote unquote complaining or throwing darts on this. You know, I chose to be there. I thought it was important for us to be in the midst of this and, you know, to bring a perspective to the audience. And, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and say I'm mad at someone for being near me without a mask. And there was no way to comply with the COVID-19. Yeah.
So you referenced earlier today that maybe there's a news conference that's going to provide some information about outside agitators, and you know, that's been mentioned a few different times by a few different people. I think the mayor and the chief of police, I think, have used that kind of language. And then I'm also hearing about the people who were arrested were mostly local. I'm just curious, like, what are we hoping for on that front? Like, is the city hoping that we find out that people from the outside came in and stirred up all the trouble?
Yeah. If I'm Mayor Brown, if I'm the police commissioner and in brass there in the headquarters building, I'm hoping that we can figure out that those responsible for throwing fire in the city hall building, et cetera, and the organizers of the rush on the courthouse are from outside of the area. Because they did make an enormous attempt on, not attempt, they applauded the local community that came and had a peaceful protest at 5 o'clock. And that's what it was. And that largely they believe were local people. But they feel that the people that were challenging police at the courthouse, throwing fire, blowing up vans, were people that came in from other communities. From where, we don't know. And what happened is that they made an arrest, or they have someone in custody that is a suspect with regard to the City Hall fire thing, and they were going to have a press conference on that at 2 p.m. Well, now we're here at 4 p.m., and they still haven't had the press conference. We still have someone down there waiting. It has not happened. So there must be some sort of legalese going on behind the closed door. So I'm not sure what's going to come of that. It will be interesting, though.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, I hope, I mean, I don't need to tell you people on your end of things how to do your jobs, but the fact that the city would probably be hoping that it is outside agitators is reason to be skeptical about what they tell you, I think. Isn't it? Like, I'm going to want to know what that proof is. You know,
absolutely.
Like, how do you know, right?
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's such a tinderbox of it's not like Buffalo is the only place there was a demonstration. You know, we have this backdrop of city after city. I mean, we had coverage on the air last night on the radio, and I know the TV, you know, networks are doing it, obviously, but just they were switching from city to city. Here's the scene in Minneapolis. Here's the scene, you know, and I watched Friday night, the CNN Center get, you know, was under siege and attack. I mean, this is happening all over. So I think there is a lot of attempt at positioning information, I think, is what we might be alluding to here, that you know, the messaging that's coming out. So yeah, I'm very suspect of information, especially, I hate to say it, but when politicians are involved.
Right.
Yes, our version of that is coaches.
Yeah.
Who never tell the truth, unless it's good.
That was one of the, did you hear that? There was a rumor of a someone, you know, trying to breach the security at the Bills store. And I got that one yesterday, like from three different places. I'm like, of all places, they were trying to like break into the Bills store on Abbott Road.
I did not hear that, no.
Right. Well, you have. Yeah. I mean, I guess last night there was a couple of targets in the suburbs. Like, I even know Saturday night, close to me, Hurdle, Parker, there's a liquor store at the corner of Hurdle and Parker. And that got vandalized. And, like, there was no other damage, really, in the neighborhood that I've heard of. And that definitely was not a part of the protest. It was just like, hey, people are smashing stuff up in the city. Let's get some vodka. I think, probably.
Yeah, you know, and Don Arthur, again, the guy that owns the pharmacy you referenced, Black Rock mm-hmm. Pharmacy, you know, I don't know, have his quote right in front of me, but he said to Susan yesterday when she was interviewing him that, you know, this was kind of like a group of amateurs waiting in the wings to, you know, just do stuff. And I feel like there was a small contingent of people within the mass of people that had a message that they wanted to deliver, a legitimate message. And there was this group of people that just wanted to just take advantage and do stuff, you know, whether it's break into a Target or, you know, agitate with fire in City Hall, et cetera. I don't know that the people that I saw at 5 p.m. on the steps of City Hall, emotional people that you know, were moved by this situation to the point of showing up there, were rushing the courthouse.
We're looking for.
Yeah, I just didn't feel that. I interviewed them. I didn't talk to all of them, but I talked to a lot of them. And, you know, there was a lot of passion and a lot of emotion there, a lot of anger, but I just didn't see a group of, I walked with a couple walking hand in hand up Delaware Avenue after the protest as the march left, you know, the Niagara Square. I can't imagine that they were, you know, running up to the face shield of a police officer and hitting him with a water bottle.
People of different races.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, you know, there's a very poignant moment in the night when outside of the courthouse, there was so much tension there. There was the one arrest I saw. They were throwing, I heard bricks. I don't know. I saw more like rocks being thrown at some of the police, tons of water, full water bottles being thrown. All this stuff is going on. And this was before fire was involved. And this young African-American woman stood up on top of one of those bollards outside of the federal courthouse. And she had a megaphone. So she was clearly someone that either was one of the organizers or had access to the local group. And she said, this is not doing any good. The sun was setting. She said, we've sent our message. Let's do what we came here to do and let's march. Let's move out and march. And that is a turning point in the evening. And she got off that bollard and started walking through Niagara Square and up Niagara Street. And I would say 95% of the group followed her and left a very small group that continued to challenge the police department. And then it was that same group that was still there when I came back after the mayor that was, you know, burning a van and throwing, kicking, you know, the windows in at the Statler, et cetera.
Wow.
Good word.
Wow.
It's about one of the only ones I can, I just, it's just, it's crazy that we're living this. I mean, I, you know, another, I'll give you another vision here on, you know, as I left, or came back to Niagara Square, after the mayor's news conference. And then I kind of like wrapped that aspect of our coverage up and went over to the police headquarters for another press conference. I looked back in Niagara Square and I didn't see if any person was remaining. I didn't see them. And I saw the broken windows at the Statler, the van still smoldering, and just a billow of tear gas smoke rising over Niagara Square. And I just scratched my head and thought, this is Buffalo, New York on a Saturday night. Never would I have thought.
it's important. It's a great job by the station. I mean, you and Brendan out there.
Yeah, thank you.
The articles are all over the website, and they're just stark details, pictures. An incredible weekend. Well, I'm glad you're safe.
Yeah, we are, and we're, you know, we chose to be there, and we are safe. We were careful too, I think.
Yep.
As careful as we could be, you know, you can't control the people around you.
Well, great job. You don't really need to hear that from me, Tim, but really, and Brendan, I barely know.
It would help if you ever came in.
Well, no, let's perspective here too. I said this to Susan, my wife is Susan Rose, who, you know, a longtime veteran in the newsroom over there, as am I. And here I'm 56 years old covering this, and it's a poignant moment, an important moment in the city's history. And Brendan is a heck of a lot younger and at the beginning of his career. And I said to Susan yesterday, you know, I walk away from this with a great deal of perspective and learning at my age and point of my career. Just imagine the impact this is having on him and the learning experience he had. And he did a tremendous.
Well, he did a great job.
And he's
too.
Still doing it. He's at that press conference right now.
Yeah, there's a small group down there at the moment, reportedly. So there's certainly more to come.
It is. And Brendan's there, and it's very peaceful.
Thank you, Tim.
You are welcome, guys.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.